Lord, you are great, full of mercy, full of grace, full of love. God, our faith is in you, and our trust is in you. And Father, I just have a couple of prayer requests I want to lift up to you now, Father, about just there are some family situations that are going on in the midst of our congregation, Father, and I just lift up, there are several different things that are going on, and they're kind of unspoken, and I just pray, God, that your mercy and your grace would just come in and remove the confusion and the strife and the struggle that's going on right now, God, and that healing and that restoration and that your plan would begin to unfold in a great and a mighty way, God. And Father, we lift up Joseph to you right now, who's home with kidney stones. Father, we just pray that your healing touch would be upon him, that these kidney stones would break up right now in the name of Jesus, dissolve completely and pass through his system with no pain. And Father, we know that your hand can touch him and heal him. And Father, we just believe right now for a complete and total restoration to him. And Father, we lift up Garrett to you right now, who has just been diagnosed with QT syndrome, which is a heart condition. And Father, he's a young man who's involved in athletics. And Father, none of these things are possible for him with this syndrome that has been diagnosed. So Father, we just pray right now that the desires of his heart would be fulfilled. And that Father, that he would turn to you and God, that you would heal him and touch him. That you would just completely, totally restore his heart right now in the name of Jesus. That whatever the symptoms are and whatever the cause is of this QT syndrome, Father, we pray that it would be destroyed right now in the name of Jesus. The work of the enemy would be destroyed and his heart would be healed completely and totally in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We thank you for the word that we're going to study this morning. We thank you that it's true and that it's alive and that it can change and transform our lives. Father, we just give you all the praise, all the glory right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So this morning, I'm gonna speak on abundance. And this is a challenging area, because this is something I think we all desire, is just to have the abundance of God in our lives, the manifestations of God's blessings in our lives. Here, can you hold on? Yeah. And I do want to say, I'm free today to move around. We got a new mic, and thank you, Dave, for helping us out with that. And so we are blessed. I can move. I may jump up on the front pew and spit all the way back to the third row. I'm so excited. We can all have God's abundance and blessing in our lives and enjoy the fullness of life greater than we can imagine. We can do that. God wants us to experience life in abundance. It is the very reason Jesus came to this earth, was that we would have an abundant life. That we would, that things would begin to happen in our lives, that the curse would be broken off of our lives, and we begin to move forward in abundance in Jesus. Amen? In the Amplified Version, John 10:10 says, Jesus said, "The thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. I come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows." Unfortunately, too many of us are not enjoying the abundance of this, that this verse talks about. We're not having this abundance. Hey, Daniel, come here, Clyde. Where's he going? Okay. Yeah. No, he's all right. He's back there with Dave now. Dave will hold on to his ear. Unfortunately, too many of us are not enjoying what this verse is talking about. But many Christians don't realize that it's up to us. It's up to us to live this abundant life that God has called us to. It's up to us to to begin to enact all and begin to enjoy what God has provided for us. It's an action on our part. It's more than just God saying it. It's us believing it, us following it, us walking it out, us speaking it into existence in our own lives. Some Christians enjoy God's abundance, but they are not experiencing the abundance of John 10:10. I mean, there are things, and I think all of us would agree, that there are areas of abundance in our lives. I mean, we are blessed. We are truly blessed. And if we stop long enough and begin to look at the blessings in our lives, we start to recognize them. So, oh man, I've got a beautiful wife. I've got great kids. There's a lot of things that are blessings, but I don't know if I personally, just to be honest with you, if I'm flowing in the fullness of the John 10:10 abundance of life that I think that I should be flowing in. I'm thinking that I should have abundance in every area of my life. And there are times when I don't feel that abundant. There are times when I feel that life is stealing, killing, and destroying more things than it's producing the life more abundantly. I have challenges. I know that Jesus redeemed my pool from the curse, but it's still all cloudy. And I sometimes feel that same way in my own life, that I know Jesus has delivered me from all the sickness and all the disease and all the corruption that the enemy brought into this world. I'm completely set free from it, and that there's an abundance in my that I can walk in the abundance of Jesus, but sometimes it's just a little cloudy. And I'm not always moving in that abundance. And you know, there are some that flow in some abundance, and there are some that are clear at the bottom of the barrel and they can't figure out how to get anything to happen right for them. And there are those that they're barely getting ends to meet. It's like, okay, God, where's this prosperity I've heard about? Where is this blessing that I'm reading about? I just can't get it to show up. Like my friend that called me just last night. He reads about it. He knows about it. He's believing God for it, but he's just not seeing some of the things coming forth. And he's wondering where they are and what's going on. Some have come up a little, just a little bit shorter. I mean, some of us come out of the horribleness, and we get kind of in a position where we're just kind of in the status quo and everything is just kind of okay. We don't want to muddy the waters. It's good. You know, we're not challenging ourselves to continue to move towards this abundance that God talks about. Although there is never a shortage of God's resources, God never seems to be short in that area. Oftentimes, though, I think there's a shortage in my faith and my understanding of His goodness towards me. Sometimes I think I don't think I deserve all the blessings of God. I even say it sometimes. I mean, you know, I don't mean this in a negative way, but sometimes I'll say stuff like this, and I just said this to Dave the other day. I don't really want to pastor a church of 2,000. I just want to pastor a church of a couple hundred so that we can meet the needs. You know, it's a struggle. Without your faithfulness, we wouldn't make it. But it's a struggle every month to get through another month here. And I don't want to give up on the struggle because it's a struggle. I want to live in God's abundance. But I should be okay if we go to 2,000. I don't know if I will be, but I should be. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I should say, God, whatever you want, let's get some abundance going on. Let's get all of your resources flowing here. I want to experience all of his goodness. And we do this when we renew our minds and we develop our mental abundance towards these things. And it really comes down to me saying the right things. Until we know what the will of God is for our lives above life's limits, we won't have them. until we begin to understand that God wants us to live beyond limits, beyond the limits of this life. He wants us to live beyond what we see in front of us. He wants us to live beyond that. He wants, and this is God's desire for us. Here I put together a few scriptures that kind of describe what God really wants for us. Psalms 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." Man, wouldn't it be great not to want? I haven't reached that place yet. I'm just going to be honest with you. I still want some stuff. I want some things from Him and in my life, in my kids' lives. I want some stuff. I'm not at a place where I can say I'm not without want, and I should be. Does that make sense? I mean, the scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." So my mindset needs to be that I'm not wanting. I need to understand that His desires, and He will fulfill the desires of my heart. Amen? It says in Psalms 37, verse 4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." I put this on my Facebook this morning. That seems simple, doesn't it? Delight yourself in the Lord? Okay, no problem. And He'll give you the desires of your heart. It seems simple, doesn't it? That every day I should be able to get up and delight myself in the Lord in everything that I do and everything that I say. I should be delighted. I should walk around delighted. I'm delighted. How are you today? I'm delighted. I've delighted myself in the Lord, and He's given me the desires of my heart. These things are being poured out in my life and in my heart. Do you feel like that every day? I mean, because we should, because we should be without want, shouldn't we? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that you may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers in this day." Did you know that the covenant that He swore to our fathers is still today? And from Deuteronomy. If you look in Deuteronomy, the covenant there, there's the curses, and then there's the blessings. Guess what? Jesus paid the price for the curses. Okay? The blessings are still in place. The Lord is the Lord of blessing. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." There's no sorrow from God. Now, I don't know about you, but I occasionally get sorrow. I guess I should realize where that sorrow comes from. It's not from God. God doesn't bring me sorrow. God brings blessings into my life. The sorrow is probably of my own making. Or it's an attack from the enemy. It's something the enemy's trying to bring into your life. And God can turn those tears into joy. Amen? Because we all have a bit of sorrow. It rains on the just and the unjust. Psalms 37:25 says, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. If we'll follow after the things of God, He will bless us. The more we study His word, the more we'll know that God's supply will never be exhausted. I wonder if we study enough, if we know Him enough, or we just know enough to be dangerous to ourselves. We know what we're supposed to know, but we don't walk it out. We haven't slowed down enough. You know, it was one of the things that I told my friend on the phone last night was, slow down. Sometimes we have to slow down. And he says, "Well, Pastor, I haven't stopped reading the Bible." And I said, "Yeah, but slow down." I mean, it's one thing to read the Bible every day. It's another thing to slow down long enough that the Bible speaks to you. I know guys that read the Bible all the way through every year, and they don't know very much. I know people that take 3 or 4 years to read the Bible, and they know a lot. Because they read it slow enough that stuff got in. That they read it in such a way that it began to speak to them. That it began to be a part of the fiber of their life. They began to be transformed by the Word of God and by what was being said. And then they begin to see that the blessings of God are inexhaustible. That the Word of God will transform their life and it will continue to move forward. If we slow down, sometimes we get in such a hurry that we want to know the 5 steps to success. Or the 4 steps to freedom. And I've often said that it's like 12 steps from the back of the church to the front. And that's what it takes to get set free. Is that altar right there. The Word of God in your heart and in your life. That's what it takes. I often share 5 points today. I've got 5 points, you know, 5 things that we can do, you know, but they're not the ultimate answer. They're just helps to get us to the ultimate thing. There's only one way to get to heaven. One way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus. But I think that we're all on different paths in our growth to understanding the fullness of God's blessing in our lives. We all learn at different rates and in different ways of God, of the Holy Spirit working in us and speaking to us how to grow towards the blessing of the Lord. But the key is to keep pressing towards the promises of God, to keep moving towards that. The more our faith is built up in the areas of the Word of God, in this area of understanding the blessings of the Lord in our lives, the more we will start to live in the abundance of God. The more I understand that He is my shepherd and I shall not want. I mean, I've got to get that in my brain, not just in my brain, but in my mouth and in the way I speak. Some people can only talk about what they do not have and what they cannot do. You know, you ask somebody, hey, can you do this? No, I can't really do that. Yeah, no, I can't do that. You know? Oh, okay. Okay. You talk to them hey, can you help me out with it? No, I can't help you out with that. I don't have that. I don't have this. I don't have. And all they can do is talk about what they don't have. And they don't realize that it really, we got to start talking about what we do have. You know, that's one of the things that I reminded my friend of is that I said, what you need to do is slow down and start looking at what you have and not what you don't have and what you think other people have. You know, you start looking at other people and you start thinking, man, Dave and Ina, man, they sure are blessed. Well, they're still on their honeymoon, but they sure are blessed. And then you start thinking, man, what do I got? I got nothing. I got this. Stop doing that. You can't compare yourselves to other people because you'll be in big trouble. You can't compare yourselves to Sherry and I. No, I'm just kidding. That would be a good place to start if you're going to compare. At least you'd have success. You know, we talk about how little we have and how we're always coming up short. I'm praying, Pastor, but it's just not working. And I get it. I mean, I get it. I get the struggle of coming up short of where you think you're supposed to be. And sometimes I think you just need to draw back and say, okay, Lord, what do you want? What are you teaching me? What are the blessings that I'm getting from? And then start to see what God's doing in our lives. In essence, what happens is we become POWs, prisoners of our words. We're hung by our own tongue when we're not saying the right things. And, you know, I know this is, again, we're talking about positive confession here and saying the right things. And I know people always get a little hesitant when people say, hey, you know, are you saying that we should be one of them positive confession people? Well, yeah, I am. I mean, What's the alternative to positive confession? Negative confession. Yeah, let's be those people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what always cracked me up. Oh, I'm not one of those faith guys. You're not? What do you mean you're not a faith guy? You better be a faith guy or girl. You better be. Because that's how this thing works. I mean, I used to crack up. I had a prominent pastor friend of mine used to say all the time, I'm not one of those faith guys. What do you mean you're not one of those? I told him one time, I said, what do you, this part drives me nuts. And I told him, and he's gone to be with Jesus, so I can talk about it now. Pastor Cole, you guys know Pastor Cole? He used to say all the time, I'm not one of those faith guys. Because there was, you know, the faith movement and all that stuff, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, you know, and he used to say, I'm not one of those faith guys, and it would drive me nuts. I'd look at him and go, what, are you kidding me? And he's like, I told him that one time, I was out golfing with him, and I said, Pastor, you know, one thing that bothers me all the time that you say is, you say you're not one of those faith guys, and it drives me nuts. Because if there's one guy in this whole world that I believe's got faith, it's you, and you keep telling me you're not. And he's like, well, I mean, and I go, yeah, but who cares what other people have done or what other people have said? Don't try to, because we're discouraged. I think we discourage people from being faith people. When we tell them, I'm not a faith guy, don't you be a faith person. What? People, be faith people. Be faith people. It's impossible to please God without it. So please, be faith people. And listen, I'm not one of those positive confession people. Well, stop. Wait. Be a positive confession person. Listen, there's promises in the Word of God. Say them. The Lord is, make this your confession. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Make this your confession. I delight myself in the Lord, and He gives me the desires of my heart. Make that your confession because it's a promise. Make the promises of God your confession. Be a person of confession. Jesus said that it's by Jesus' stripes that I'm healed. Therefore, I am healed. Make that your confession. Make the confessions of the Word of God your confessions. Don't be a person that doesn't confess those things. Don't be the person that says, well, don't be glum. You have to be pretty old to know Gulliver's Travels with glum. Oh, no, I'll never make it. We'll never get there. It's too far. It's raining again today. Don't be one of those people. Be one of those people that say, today is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Because it's the Word of God. Confess that. I don't care what the circumstances of your life look like. Begin to praise Him where you are, and He will shine His light upon you. He will bless you because you're glorifying yourself in Him. Who cares if the entire world is going to hell in a handbasket? You're not the one that's supposed to save them. You're supposed to be a light of Jesus Christ and a beacon of His glory, His mercy, and His grace. And when you demonstrate the glory of God and the power of God and the manifestation of God's goodness and grace in your life, and you're not running around trying to thump people on the head, but you're loving people and helping them, that is when people are going to start to get saved because they'll see Jesus in you. That's when we're going to begin to see a transformation of what God's doing. We have to get our eyes off of our limitations and onto the promises of God. And then we won't be held in the bondage of lack. Lack will no longer be in our lives. We'll begin to prosper in Him. We won't be sick. We'll walk in health. We won't live in fear. We'll enjoy peace that passes all understanding. Wouldn't you love to enjoy the peace that passes all understanding? And the way you find that is in Him. You find it nowhere else. You've got to stop looking at other people. This is what I told my friend last night. You've got to stop looking at your boss who looks like he's prospering and says he's a believer and does everything opposite that. You've got to stop looking at what that is, and you've got to begin to let God work in your own life and then help your boss by demonstrating the love of Christ in your life. That's all you have to do. That's what we have to begin to do. We will experience the overflow of God's abundance because that's what he wants all of his children to enjoy. Now, here's some tips on understanding God's prosperity. There's five of them, so write them down because this will set you free. No, this is just a start. Biblical prosperity is more than money. When we talk about biblical prosperity, it's more than money. 3 John 2, which is one of my favorite scriptures of all time. In fact, if you have a birthday and you're my Facebook friend, I send this to you on your birthday every year. I will send this to you. 3 John 2, and this is what it says. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The key to prosperity in God is you. The absolute key to prosperity is you. And prosperity is more than money. It's every aspect of our lives. And the way we get that prosperity is the mind is part of the soul. So this verse indicates that we must prosper in our minds to experience God's blessing. We must begin to prosper in our own minds. And we prosper in our minds by renewing them with the Word of God. It's up to us to take the authority of Christ and combat the lack and the poverty in our own lives. If we have lack in some area of our lives or poverty in some area of lives, and I'm not talking just about money, I'm talking about anything. If you lack health in your life and you have poverty in the area of health in your life, you need to know what God says about that. You need to study the Word of God to know what God says about that. If you lack wisdom, if you lack peace, if you lack understanding, whatever you lack or have poverty in your life, no matter what it is all up to you to take the promises of Jesus and combat those things in your lives through the Word of God. What has Christ delivered you from? Everything. Every curse of the enemy is destroyed by the work of Christ. Every single area of your this demonic world has been destroyed by the power of God. We are greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We can overcome these things. We are the head, not the tail end. Okay? We go above, not beneath, the Bible says. These are things the Bible tells us. We are above these things. Now look, I'm telling you, this last week did not seem above. It did not seem above. But I tried to stay above. And everything, I try not to be negative this week. I tried not to say and confess negative thoughts, but thoughts of good. You know, tomorrow's another day. Praise God. His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to get up and have a good day today. And I'll tell you what happens when you do that. Is your bad days start turning into better days. And they're not so bad. And then those bad days turn into good days. The next thing you know, you strung a bunch of good days together. And you're like, whoa, look what just happened. His mercies are new every morning. Because I've changed my attitude in my conversation. I've stopped talking about the things I can't do. And I start talking about the things I can do. Because listen, we got everybody. And I said this to someone this last week. It is so easy to find the negative. It's a piece of cake. I guarantee you, I can go around the room and find all the negative things out. I want to find out about myself. Don't really want to know them. I want to start focusing on the things that I can do well and the things that I do well and do those. And you know what? I'd like you to do that too. What things can you do well? Do those things. Begin to do them. Just begin to manifest yourself and the things that God has blessed you with. Try to be a blessing to others that are around you. When we lack because we don't understand God's blessing for us. We are not children that would beg for bread and God would give us a stone. We are children that if we say, God, I need some bread, he'll give us bread. We are his children that if we ask for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, he will give it to us. If we ask God to begin to move on our behalf, he will begin to move on our behalf. It may not be instantaneous, but it will be in His timing. He will be there for us. God is never late by His clock. It's when I put Him on the clock that I get disappointed. Does that make sense? Because whenever I put God on the clock, I come up wanting. And I need to just allow God to work things out and stay faithful. You know, I read a thing just yesterday. It was on the internet, so it must be true. It was a quote from Mother Teresa, and it said, God called me to be faithful, not successful. Faithful. I think I can be faithful. I don't really want to be successful without God. I mean, I'd like to see success and I guess I would like to see success that my peers would be able to notice. I think we all want, but when that becomes more important, that my peers see me as successful over my faithfulness, I think I'm in trouble. Does that make sense? And so it's important that I stay faithful to what God has spoken in my heart to do. Stay faithful to that. And then His blessing will come if I stay faithful to what He's called me to do. Number two. Oh man, I better get going. I got four more to go and 4 minutes to go. operating in God's, is this helping? Or hurting? Helping? Okay. I hope. Operating in God's law of sowing and reaping will open the doors for prosperity. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through 10, it says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that will he also reap. And for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. God will prosper us so that we can bless others. If we give God what is in our hands, He will give us what's in His hands. And His hands have a lot more in them than ours. If we'll be faithful to give and to sow in the Spirit, sow in the things of God, sow into good works, well, Pastor, are you saying that we're saved by good works? Not at all. You're saved by the grace of God, but it doesn't mean you get to be, that you do nothing. It means we got to step up and do stuff. Freely we have received, freely we give. God has healed you. Go heal somebody. God has set you free from drugs or alcohol. Go find somebody on drugs and alcohol and set them free. God has freed you. So now you go free somebody else. Give. And it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how we get. It's sowing and reaping. God blesses us. We bless others. We just keep pouring it out. I guarantee you, try to outgive God. See who wins. Just try it. And everything you do, try to outgive God. Just be crazy about it. Now, I'm not saying you need to empty your bank account, unless He tells you to. Because if that's in the way, but I'm not saying He does. I'm just saying. No one needs to empty their bank account. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But God has given you a lot of things. He has blessed you in a lot of areas. Now go bless somebody else. Go be a blessing to somebody else. Well, I don't have very much. It's okay. Stop looking at what you don't have. Start looking at what you do have and start being a blessing to others. And that will grow. All these things, you begin to just see a mushroom of God's blessing come out of your life when you begin to just share those things. Number three, God's prosperity is often comes through our employment. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor, there is profit, but an idle chatter leads to poverty. God will bless whatever we put our hand to, but if we're doing nothing, God has nothing to bless. You got to do something. Do something. Well, what do you mean do something? Take your neighbor a pie. Do something. Be a blessing. Just whatever you, what, if, well, Pastor, I don't work. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Okay. Bake some cookies for your kids and your husband and your pastor, and it'll be a blessing. And you'll be a blessing. Be a blessing. Always look to do just a little bit. How can I help? What can I do? What can I do to help? What? Hey, do we need more toilet paper? Okay, I can get some. I'll buy an extra 3 rolls today. Can I? Do we need a little of this at the church? What do we need? Start looking around. See where you can help. You know, I can't commit to this all the time, but on the 18th, I'll be here that night just to point people where the bathrooms are. And I guarantee you, I won't be here after it's over. And Richard and Dave and Bama are going to want some help breaking this whole thing down and cleaning it up so they can have Sunday morning service after the 18th. And Dave's looking at me going, huh? I thought I was preaching on the 22nd. Yeah. There's always stuff to do. But I can't, I got a bad back. It's all right. You got a bad back, our tables are round. Just roll them. Find something to do. You know, just kick a chair. I don't care. You don't have to actually pick it up. Just push it. We're always needing the dishes done, amen? I'm just saying, there's always something to do. Whatever, just standing around idly chatting, just leads to poverty. And that's one of the things, I'll tell you right now. If this verse isn't good for the government, Yep. From one side of the aisle to the other. Yep. It's leading us to poverty. If those guys would stop talking, just get to work, the whole country would go back to work. Drives me nuts. Oh, well. Number four. We cannot live in sin and expect to have prosperity. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. It is obvious that we cannot have blatant sin in our lives and expect to be blessed. 1 John 1:9, the verse written to Christians, one that we should live by. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can sin separate you from the blessings of God? Yes. It's an area that all of us have to deal with on a daily basis, I would imagine. Some of us can probably get through 3 or 4 days, but then we start feeling a little righteous. Most of us need to pray every day. God, I'm so bad at this. I'm just not so good at this. Please help me. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. My heart is after you. Sometimes I just do the wrong thing. Paul even said, man, I want to do the right thing. I know what the right thing to do is, but sometimes I just don't do it. Sometimes I just make the whole room mad. I can imagine that there were times when Paul was being run out of cities that he wanted to turn and fight. Because he was not some sissy. I don't see Paul as some scrawny little sissy guy. Because before he was tracking down Christians and killing them. He was arresting people. So I'm thinking he's this big, bad policeman kind of guy. And so when people are coming after him, he's wanting to turn and fight for Christ and give up his life to fight for Christ. But the Lord's telling him he's got to run. He's got to slip out the back door, crawl into a basket and slip away, because the purpose of his life was far greater than the pride of his life. And I bet, I'll almost guarantee you that he struggled with pride. Because if you read his letters, he starts out, "I, the great apostle called by God, Paul." And in the end, he says, "I, chief sinner of all." His last letter, he calls himself the chief of all sinners. In his first letter, he calls himself Superstar Paul. I think he struggled with pride. I think he struggled with wanting to be the number one apostle. And in the end, his humility found him to be the most written apostle. Because in due season, God lifted him up. Two-thirds of the New Testament are written by a man who was humbled in his life by God, not lifted up. Paul never had success. The longest he ever pastored was in Ephesus, which was 2.5 years, and he turned that over to Timothy. And Timothy was killed in the streets by pagan worshipers. That church never... And Timothy struggled pastoring that church. If you read the Bible, he struggled. Paul had to write him a letter. "Listen, dude, stop letting the women talk so much." Just saying. That's what he said. Because Timothy got overrun by what I think, when I read it, I see that Timothy got overrun by his mother and grandmother in the church he was trying to pastor. Not that women can't say things and speak up. Not that that's not applicable to today. I'm just saying, in Timothy's case, he was too timid. But Timothy was killed in the streets of Ephesus by trying to stop a pagan parade because he stirred up those gifts, like Paul said, got right out in the street and said, "Stop this," and they killed him. He was martyred. He was killed for the cause of Christ. Did you know all around the world today, not in the U.S., but all around the world today, people are being killed right now today, killed because of their belief in Christ. And you know who's killing them? Islam. Radical Islams are killing them. We don't hear about it in the media. We don't hear it from our pulpits. These are things that we're not saying. There are pastors and Christians who are standing up for their belief in Christ and being killed for it. And we should be outraged as believers that these things are going on. This shouldn't happen. Is it going to happen? It's going to. And eventually it's going to happen right here. And I believe it's going to start with the IRS, but... don't put that on tape. Is this out there? Is this out there? Are they listening? Oh my goodness, it's out there. But I want to say this, listen. It's the little foxes that destroy our lives, okay, that come in and can destroy our lives. Hebrews chapter, I got just one more after this, okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." If our focus would stop being on all this and on Christ, we would see in the wake of our lives unbelievable signs and wonders. I've made this description before. Some of you are new, so you probably haven't heard this, but I really believe Mark chapter 16 says, "These signs will follow those that believe." I believe signs and wonders happen in the wake of what we do, not in the forefront of what we do. If we look for signs and wonders, if we go somewhere looking for a sign and a wonder, we're faced in the wrong direction. It says signs and wonders will follow the believer. So, in other words, if I will focus my attention on Christ and on Him only and draw towards the things of Christ, in the wake of my life, as I'm moving forward in my life, in the wake of my life, signs and wonders begin to happen. Stuff happens back here and not in front of me. We're mixed up in the church today. We're chasing a sign. Hey, everyone's laughing over there. Let me go over there. Everyone's falling down over there. Let me go over there. God's healing over there. Let me go over there. God's healing right here. If our attention is on Christ, here He is in the midst of us to heal us. Here He is in the midst of us to set us free. Here He is, right here in the midst of us. And in the wake of our lives, the manifestation of the power of God. I prayed this morning for God's healing on a couple people's lives this morning. I believe with all my heart, in the wake of what I do, I won't have to look back. I'll continue to look forward. But in the wake of what I've prayed, in the wake of that is the power of God that set both of those people free. And they're healed. It's not my job to heal. It's not my job to save. It's my job to stay faithful to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's my job to face forward in that. And all those things begin to happen in the wake of my life, not in the forefront. Number five, exercising faith in the Word of God will empower us to walk in prosperity. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says this, and this I'm closing with this, I promise. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you shall observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Success comes in following the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I've followed the Word of God and I'm not so successful. Maybe because you're looking at the wrong success book. Let me describe a guy to you. He came to Earth. He had this incredible ministry. I mean, when he first got here, there were people that came from all over the world to bless him financially, to sow into his life, and to prophesy over him. It was incredible. And then as he grew older, he began to speak and share things that brought wonder and amazement to all the teachers of Israel. They were amazed at how this young boy could teach. And then as he got older, he began to walk through the streets of Jerusalem and all over that area and began to preach the gospel and talk about the kingdom of God which was coming. At one point, he had over 5,000 people following his ministry. And on the day he left this earth and died, three of them stood before him. See, our success is measured incorrectly. Would you say that Jesus' work on the cross was unsuccessful? Because there were only three people that made it to that great event. Sometimes we wonder, some of the people that were so close to him denied him at the end, ran away in fear. But God's grace restored. God's grace empowered. And every one of the disciples, except John, the one who went to the cross, except John, died a martyr's death. Not one of them lived their whole life. Not one of the first 12 apostles lived out their whole lives except for John, the one apostle. So 11 of them died. And many others died for their belief in Christ. Not because they believed in God, but because they said Jesus was Lord. Not just for being a Christian. Because listen, in that day you could be anything you wanted as long as you said Caesar was Lord. But they refused to say Caesar was Lord. That was their problem. See, in America today, we keep thinking that somebody else is our Lord, that we got to vote on in September or in November on who our Lord is. That's not our Lord. That guy is a servant of God, and God says he's got his heart in his hand. God will give us, I guarantee you, the exact leader we need. He will. And if we need to be destroyed, that's what leader will get. I'm just saying. We need to make Jesus our Lord. Oftentimes we look at success as Jesus was successful when he had 5,000, but at the end he kind of fell off in his success. He didn't fall off in his success. Jesus did exactly what he was meant to do. Jesus fulfilled everything the Bible says that prophesied about him for. Jesus was not unsuccessful in any way, shape, or form. But by today's, if we're looking at the success manual, he did, you know, he kind of fell apart there at the end, which isn't true. Everything, if we will follow after the things of God, listen, if you following the Word of God gives you nothing on this earth, you're in a perfect place. You're in a perfect place because the kingdom you're going to is going to be incredible. But you have to humble yourself under His mighty hand. You have to allow Him to work in your life. Are you doing what God has called you to do? What is the world God wants us to have, you and I to have? What is the world God wants you and I to have? It is a world of faith and love. We create that with our words. It is a world of peace and joy. We create that with our mouths, from our soul, based on the Word of God. It is the world where we are able to take every thought captive, a world of abundance and prosperity, healing, health, protection, and safety, all according to the Word of God. That's what He's promised us. He's promised us these things if we will make them the confession of our lives, if we will make them the words that come out of our mouths. The abundance of God is on us to begin to confess the promises of God, to begin to say, Lord, you are my shepherd, and I shall not want. I will delight myself in you, O Lord, and you will give me the desires of my heart. I will meditate on your word day and night, and this will make me prosperous, Lord. This will bring me success in my life. If I will meditate on your word day and night and not let these things depart from me and turn, and what it means is when it says, do not let them depart from your mouth, and that doesn't mean not to speak them out. It means not to allow your mouth to speak something contrary to the word of God. Don't allow your mouth to depart from the things from God. Make your mouth speak the things of God. Make yourself, retrain your mind in a situation where the day is going bad and you say, God, I will rejoice in you and be glad in you because you are who you are and you're the Lord of my life. Turn your day by your words, by the confession of your mouth. Turn your day around. Make your day. Don't let an entire day be bad because of what you're saying. Turn your day around by what you say and how you say it. Use the Word of God to bless your life, and He will cause you to prosper. Amen? Let's pray. Man, I went way over. I'm sorry. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for this time that we can gather together and to study your Word. Father, I pray that you'd continue to minister to our hearts and our lives. Let our words be the confession of your book, of your law, of the words of your mouth, God. Let those be the confessions of our heart and our mind and our lips, God. Let us speak forth your blessing into our lives and walk in your abundance, O God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, or you've drifted from your relationship and want to make sure you're in a right relationship with God, if you'll slip your hand up, we don't want to miss an opportunity to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just pray right now for everyone that's left in the room right now. God, be with them, comfort them, strengthen them in everything, oh God. Strengthen them in every area of their lives. Let this just be a blessed week where we begin to transform our words and the things that we say, and that we catch ourselves in the negative comments and turn them into the positive things. If we can just find the one little thing to be praiseworthy about, oh God, we've done a great thing. So God, let us find those praiseworthy moments to be praising about those things. God, we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen.